us cry. For if you don't answer us at all, then we will surely die. For we're all like those who have long been dead. All our hands are stained with the blood of man. All our evil thoughts and our wickedness have brought us into harm. So we lift our hands to your holy place, and we call on you alone. May your mercy, fire, and your saving grace deliver us from harm. May the weapons formed against us fail, and your righteousness ever be our shield as we humble ourselves and pray. Seek your holy face, turn from our wicked ways, call on you today. Everlasting, where we'll walk with you again. Lord, we humbly call on your holy name. You're our only hope. You alone can save us from this place that we've fallen in. Deliver us again. As we lift our hands to your holy place, and we call on you alone. May your mercy, fire, and your saving grace deliver us from harm. May the weapons formed against us fail, and your righteousness ever be our shield as we humble ourselves and pray. Seek your holy face, turn from our wicked ways, call on you today. Our shield as we humble ourselves and pray. Seek your holy face, turn from our wicked ways, call on you today as we humble ourselves and pray. Seek your holy face, turn from our wicked ways, call on you today. Love.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm your host, Pastor and Commander Dan. Today is the fourth day of April, year 2018, and we've entitled today's program, QAnon. We do not have a scheduled guest, so callers will be welcome. Before we get started, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy or separate remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. By the way, it's the mother tongue of all white nations. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. I would also add Cymru am byth, Wales forever. We are told in the scriptures to call upon His name. I certainly think that's what every believer should be doing at this point in time. There is so much going on, so much division, so much name-calling, so many sources of information, a lot of it fake and false. Some of it's psyop. I mean, you're just being bombarded with information. You need your filter today more than you've ever needed it. So call upon His name. It's interesting. I was told recently a person listened to the program and heard the name Yahweh, and instead of being a naysayer, instead of getting their feathers all in a ruffle and start calling names or making accusations, this person decided to look into it and discovered, oh my gosh, it is His name. How about that? You see, that's the problem. We've been conditioned so much by the media, the institutions, and all that are run by the Antichrist, that oftentimes when you hear something new that's outside the box, you respond as they want you to. You don't even hear out the matter. And praise Yahweh for this person that took it upon themselves to look into it and said, I'll be darned, that is His name. He has a name. I would refer you to Psalm 105 verse 1 and Isaiah 12 verse 4. And I hope you have your pens and pencils at the ready in case there's something said during the program or when I give out the call-in number here in a minute so that you can jot these things down. But again, that was Psalm 105, verse 1, and Isaiah 12, verse 4. We do have a website, PastorDan.net. I try to keep pertinent information up there, especially in the areas of news items, research items, and health items. The 5 pages dedicated to articles, I update those as good articles come in, whether by, it's escaping me right now. I know Betty up there in Oregon, she's one of the writers, John Kaminsky and others that are putting out some very, very good written material. We do give a shout out to our listeners out there that are our supporters, and thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts that you think enough of us to send a little help once in a while. It's very much appreciated. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, what are our sins? Transgression of His law. I love the modern-day church, the mainstream church, which, by the way, is more Catholic than it is a true assembly of believers. But they'll tell you sin is such as looking at a girly magazine or having an impure thought, goofy stuff like that. When the scriptures were written, it was well understood that when Christ talked about these things, He was talking about transgression of Father's law. Did He not say, if you love Me, obey My commandments? Now, why would the Christ say that? Why would Christ say, obey My commandments? Wouldn't He have said Father's commandments? He said My commandments. Christ was Yahweh in a flesh body. There are many, many reasons why He had to put on flesh and come to see us. So if we confess our transgressions of His laws, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us the transgressions and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But we have to confess that we're sinners. It's the old saying, you can't help a drunk until when? Until he admits he's a drunk. You can't do a damn thing for a sinner until he admits he's a sinner. Are you listening, white people? Since Christ was a Caucasian, blonde hair, blue-eyed, Aryan, as it says in the book of Matthew, he came for the lost sheep. Who are the lost sheep? Yeah, you and I are. So he came here to talk to us and to get us set straight. My personal belief is he came here because we're pretty dense. And as I look at the white race today, yeah, nothing's changed. Pretty dense. Full of themselves, full of entertainment, full of sports, full of nonsensical pursuits. When the things that really matter are the least things that they're worried about. Easily persuaded to go the wrong way. Because if you're not anchored in Father Yahweh, you're like a ship out at the sea without his anchor. Or even a ship that comes into harbor and he puts his anchor, but he doesn't have an anchor. So where does he end up? He ends up crashed into the docks or into the beachhead. You have to have an anchor to keep you from being blown all over the place. And the anchors are Heavenly Father and his laws. Transgression of his law is our sin. Do want to wish a happy Passover to those who have gathered together out there in different communities. I know Pastor Steve and Pastor Eli are attending feasts. So praise Yahweh for them. The message is getting out there and we're restoring our traditions. And again, we don't all agree on the calendar, but I tend to agree with Pastor Eli, Pastor Steve, and most of the folks at EFR that the calendar being produced right now by Brother Hebert and Pastor Eli is a damn good starting point. I find very little with it that I can disagree with, and I've been studying about the moon cycles, the solar cycles for decades. It's the closest thing to something we can all agree on. So I'm just going to put it out there for Jacob Israel, the white race. Let's agree on that calendar being our calendar so that we can get some kind of commonality between us. So we're on the same page when we talk about the dates and when the feasts start and things like that. Also on how to celebrate the feast, instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, I would turn you towards Pastor Eli and Pastor Steve and many of the websites like Kingdom Identity Ministries. All these ministries have plenty of material there to go into how to set up for your feast days, what foods to eat, what foods not to eat. And again, don't forget, what was the purpose of the feast? And Richard Ford, when he was my guest, got into this subject quite often. The feasts did two things. In the old days, they were rehearsals for things to come. After Christ, they were remembrances of things past. Remembrances. You got to remember, back hundreds and hundreds of years ago, our people didn't have cell phones, tablets, computer age. There were no telephones, no telegraphs. The printed word was not invented yet. Gutenberg's press had not been invented. So mass information via print was hard to come by. So our Heavenly Father took care of it by having these celebrations, these remembrances. Rehearsals in the past, remembrances now. And this, of course, is the Passover, speaking of when the death angel passed over our kinsmen when they were in bondage in Egypt. When the punishment was going to be dealt upon the wicked. Hello, does it sound familiar? As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Moses, the wicked are about ready to be dealt with severely. The punishment's coming. Do you want the punishment to affect you and your family? Well, then you're going to want it to pass over you, aren't you? Now, I personally anoint the doors to the house with virgin olive oil, symbolically of being the blood of Christ. The actual conversion of you pleading the blood of Christ over you and your family and loved ones is doing essentially the same thing at this point in time. If you plead his blood, the precious blood of the Lamb, the last sacrifice necessary, the last shedding of innocent blood, that was Christ. He so loved us, he did that willingly. He gave his life and his blood that if we cover ourselves, the death angel passes over. It also is a form of protection against the wiles of the wicked one today. Look how many liars and deceivers are out there. They abound everywhere. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for that. I guess we're getting pretty much over the target because that was a external shutdown of my system, and I didn't do anything to cause it. So just amazing. Okay, I'm trying to get everything set back to where I had it here, so if you'll just bear with me. And as I get this thing set up here, but that is amazing. That is the first time for that kind of a shutdown. I mean, a complete freeze and then shutdown. So that only tells me that somebody, won't say who, didn't like what I was saying or doesn't like Eurofolk Radio where we're broadcasting from. Maybe too much truth getting out there, maybe. But let me get some of my materials back up on the screen here, if you'll just bear with me. Like I said, that one took me by surprise. Usually there's some kind of glitch maybe at Eurofolk Radio or some other interference is done. TalkShoe, of course, took down 9 years' worth of material like that. Took 9 years' worth of programming and whatnot and just erased it. Because they were taken over by Jews, and the Jews don't like what we have to say, obviously. So, you know, a lot of times they cover it up, too. They say such and such company was bought out by this conglomerate or whatever. That's just a camouflaged way of telling you that the Jews came in through the back door with a bag full of shekels, bought the company out, and once they get their dual citizenship, Zionist, communist, Jew buddies into certain key positions, it's only a matter of a few clicks of the finger and your stuff is gone. 9 years worth of material gone. And they'll always say, well, there was a violation of service. But, you know, it's kind of funny. YouTube and all that, they can put devil worshiping stuff up there, child pedophilia, all other degeneracy up there, and it doesn't seem to affect any of their terms of service. But you let us talk about the truth of the Bible and things such as that, and all of a sudden it's we got shutdowns and things like this going on. It's absolutely amazing. So I'm trying to figure out where I was here talking about. I think I'd made my point, though, before I got off. The phone line is going to be open. I don't have a scheduled guest tonight. I do apologize for my voice. I'm not feeling very well. I'm fighting a couple different things right now. And I'm not saying the enemy did it. It could be just bad, something I did wrong or whatever. But I am fighting a few things. So forgive me for the fact that my voice isn't quite the same. My energy level's not quite the same. And I gotta shut a few things off here, too. Now that it's restarted, I got to remember I had things shut off and got to go back and reset everything again. Oh, this is just terrible. So, again, we do apologize. These things do happen. I noticed here lately we seem to be getting hit quite frequently. But then again, we're in warfare with the Antichrist. And in warfare, you're going to get hit with flak once in a while, especially when you're over the target. And apparently we're over the target. More so than in the past, all right? So instead of believing all the naysayers and everything that's out there, all you got to do is judge people by their fruits and also judge the times you live in by what you see going on. If the enemy had all the power and this was a done deal and you and I couldn't affect the outcome of everything, do you think they would go through all this trouble to make all the fear porn and to cause all the division and the confusion and fear? Why would they do that? Why wouldn't they just take over? If Satan's kids were given free rein to do whatever the hell they want, and this is a done deal, then why even send Christ? Why did he come down as the Christ then? If this is already over? It's not already over. Just like here, they shut the computer off. Okay, so we wait till it starts back up again and pick right up where we left off. It's an annoyance, but it's not overcoming us. You see, and he told us that we would be persecuted. He didn't say we would be overcome. We would be tormented and persecuted. And the Jew is that. He's a thorn and a prick in the side of all of us. All mankind. Not just the white race. All mankind. And praise Yahweh, I'm seeing more and more and more coming from all sorts of angles stating exactly that. It's like there's a wake up. Reminds me of Ezekiel chapter 37, his spirit being poured out upon all flesh. And out of that flesh that comes awake, spiritually awake, comes a great and vast and mighty army. And we entitled tonight QAnon because I wanted to explain a few things about QAnon as far as I know, all right? From my perspective, I know there's a lot of varying opinions out there, and I'm not putting down anybody else's opinion. You can have any opinion you want. But I have a right to give you mine as well, and you do with it as you see fit. So there's an awful lot of things going on. One other thing I wanted to give it the call-in number. Area code 605-472-5300, and the access code 649-249. And again, that's 605-472-5300. The access code, 649-249. And you will be muted when you call in, and I will have to unmute you. So for the trolls that like to bother us, sorry, but I'm not going to unmute you if I have you identified. So anyway, we got this phenomenon, QAnon. Before I get into that, I wanted to read a few quotes here because these are so apropos. Manny Friedman, of course, a Jew, said, "Let's be honest with ourselves here, fellow Jews. We do control the media." Thank you. Every once in a while, a Jew will tell the truth. And Manny Friedman told the truth. Thomas Jefferson told us that when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. I had an interesting conversation with a fellow veteran. He was from the Navy. I'm from the Air Force. And we got talking about how much more are white people in America going to take? How much are the white people in all of our nations going to take of these invaders? Okay, they're not immigrants. They're not refugees. They are invaders. Big difference, all right? So you're being invaded, which is an act of war. So my question to him as a fellow veteran is, when are the veterans going to wake up and remember our oaths that we took upon entry into the service of this nation? A service to this nation is a service to our race, okay? Nation and race are synonymous terms. If you don't know that, you don't own a dictionary. Or if you own one, it collects as much dust as your Bible sitting on the same bookshelf that you never read. All right? Nation has the same Latin root as nativity and natal, as in prenatal care, N-A-T, nate, or nat. Nativity, natal, nation, race. And an unabridged dictionary, if it's honest, and if it's an older one, the more modern ones, of course, have been polluted. Just like they recently got, I believe it's Webster's dictionary, to change the definition of assault rifle to meet with the Jewish agenda today. So they do change meanings in the printed dictionaries from time to time. So the older the dictionary, the better. I personally like an 1828 for some of the words that were used back when the Constitution was written, but I like a 1960s to a 1980s Webster's or similar type dictionary for definitions such as nation, because they don't want you to think about race today. They want you to believe that we're part of a thing called the human race. That is a social construct of a lying Jew. There is no such thing. Any historian, any medical person can tell you the physiology of each race is unique. There is no such thing as a one singular human race. If you believe that, you need to have your head examined, because you really are dumber than a box of rocks. You got to get over all these things that are being pounded down our throats today. Thomas Paine told us the strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance. And this is what I was talking to the Navy buddy about. Because he made a statement, and it was, well, if we stand up and fight, they have the talking points in the media that everybody will look down on us. Can you imagine the founding fathers sitting around the campfires at Valley Forge, sitting there having the discussion of whether or not they should fight the British because it might come out in the papers that the people weren't on our side, or that the British loyalists in town that print the paper might put us down in bad light? Can you see the George Washington and the boys as they were freezing to death, and many of them didn't even have boots, and yet they thought fighting for this land was worth it? And you got to remember, back in those days, many of the guys came to fight with their own clothes, their own uniform, their own ammunition, and their own rifle. That was the commitment of the white men who fought to create this nation. George Washington was a man of prayer, many times going off into the woods by himself to pray because his heart was breaking for what the men were suffering through. And the men did suffer. It wasn't just the enemy that they had to worry about. It was starvation. It was cold, freezing to death, disease, and the British. George Washington told us, when the government takes away a citizen's right to bear arms, it becomes the citizen's duty to take away the government's right to govern. Actually, George got that kind of wrong, if he did say it that way. It's the government's privilege to govern. They don't have a right to govern. So I would disagree with George slightly there. The word right to govern, the government has no rights. The government has obligations and restrictions based on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They have obligations. They have no rights. We can find similar wording to this in the Pennsylvania Constitution. Under Article 1, Section 2 of the Declaration of Rights, it states, "All power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority." Meaning, we the people, our authority, and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness. What's the function of government? To ensure our peace, safety, and happiness. I dare say and submit to you, brothers and sisters, that the state and federal governments today in America have failed on all three of these issues. They no longer provide for our peace. We're being invaded, and we've allowed the non-whites in such number that crime is through the roof, and they don't do anything to the real criminals. So they do not provide for the peace. They sure as hell aren't providing for our safety, and because we have neither peace nor safety, we also do not have happiness. And especially with the central Jewish banks raping us through the Federal Reserve and the IRS, you sure as hell don't have much happiness. And our intellectual property being stolen through the patent office, also being controlled by Jews, How do you think Albert Einstein got his information? All right? The guy was an idiot, much like Obama, a complete retard. But the media puts him up there, and the Jewish media paints him in a certain light. They put the words on the teleprompter, and they tell you in the media that they're brilliant people. Really. Albert Einstein was a moron. And he acted like a buffoon most of the time. Barack Obama, a moron, who acts like a buffoon most of the time. But the Jewish media can tell you differently, can't they? So we know that the government has failed there, and it says, for the advancement of these ends, meaning peace, safety, and happiness, they have at all times, meaning we the people, have at all times an inalienable and indefeasible right to alter, reform, or abolish their government in such manner as they may think proper. I submit to you, I think it's proper we fire every bastard in Tallahassee, Florida, and every bastard in Washington, D.C. They're no good to any of us. Now, for you naysayers out there, if you think we have to have a centralized government at the state level or at the federal level to survive, just take a look over what recently happened in Spain. The central government in Spain ran out of money, and the Spaniards said, we're not going to give you more money. They went for over a year. In fact, they may still not have one, but it's well over a year with no central government. And last time I checked, Spain is still there, and the Spanish people are doing quite well. So forget this notion that we need large central government. They are a bane to our liberties. The Founding Fathers had a saying, he who governs least governs best. Are your brains functioning tonight? Can that sink in just a little bit? He who governs least governs best. Now, not only do we not need a large central government, we sure as hell don't need a large central banking system. All we have to do is look at Iceland, our Benjaminite brethren. I give a shout out to my kinsmen in Iceland who are Benjaminites. It was Benjaminites who followed the Christ, by the way. All 12 disciples were of the tribe of Benjamin. And today, the Benjaminites are primarily in Iceland. Isn't it amazing that Benjamin means son of my right hand? That's an idiomatic expression saying that he is the son of my strength. The right hand is representative of strength. That means a strong son. He's at my right hand. The tribe of Benjamin has stood their ground better than any other white nation on earth. They're still predominantly white. They took the bankers and threw them in prison and forgave their people a fictitious debt that nobody owes. We don't owe these bankers a damn thing. All of their shenanigans, all of the things that they have passed since 1913 have all been to our detriment and to put money in the pockets of the goddamn bankers. Thank you, Benjamin in Iceland, for showing us the way yet again. Son of my right hand. Their nickname was the Light Bearers. The Light Bearers. What does that mean? Aramaic expressions, when it refers to light, it's talking about understanding and wisdom. What was Benjamin to our people? Light Bearers. They are the leading nation for producing scriptures, psalms, and texts dealing with Christ per capita. No other nation produces more than little Iceland. The Benjaminites are still holding to the truth, holding to what they were put here for. Sons of my right hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Iceland, for having enough courage to take a stand in the face of these damn perfidious Jews that the rest of the white nations seem to want to fall down and worship. Why? Because the prostitute church of the latter days which is an offshoot of the mother church known as the Roman Catholic Church. They are all whores. The Roman Catholic Church is the mother of harlots. And out of her came the Protestant churches, who are also harlots. Mainstream denominations are just like mainstream churches and mainstream banks. We don't need large centralized anything, and it sure as hell don't need large centralized churches or denominations. They are a bane to truth and a bane to our liberties. Thank you, Iceland, for taking the lead and showing us the way. I have a few here that were sent to me by others. This is under the code of honor. Be without fear in the face of your enemies. Stand brave and upright that Yahweh may love thee. Speak the truth always. Speak the truth always. Even if it means your death. Protect the helpless and do no wrong. There's your code of honor, soldiers. Likewise, this was sent to me. Never be lukewarm. Even Christ told you that, didn't he? Unless you want to be vomited out of his mouth. Never be lukewarm. Life itself demands passion. He who is indifferent to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, has already forfeited his soul. He who is indifferent to politics has already forfeited his liberty. In America, religion is not mere window dressing, and citizenship is not a spectator sport. Do not allow our common destiny as a whole people, meaning the white race, to just happen without your input. As Lavoie Finicum told us, no matter how it ends, it matters how you stand. How you stand. And I'll get into the QAnon here right after this quote of the infamous piece of dog do Zionist, communist, Jew, Henry Kissinger, a man that I loathe completely. There's not one redeeming quality to this piece of garbage that walks in shoe leather. This is what he said to a bunch of his Kabbalists in Evians, France, in 1991. Now, think about what's going on today as I tell you what good old Dr. Ike Kissinger said in 1991. Today, America would be outraged if United Nations troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there were an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, which means made up, that threatened their very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. Remember, this is a promulgated or made up, pretend, false flag, staged evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government. Thank you, Dr. Henry Heinz, Khazar, Communist, Zionist, Kike, Jew, Kissinger. Thank you. Now, he only told the truth because he was standing in front of a bunch of fellow Zionist pig dogs at a conference in Evians, France. He did not know that the Goyim, that's what they call us, Goyim, which means cattle. How do you know the Jews have taken control? Let me tell you. They call us Goyim or cattle because we're just animals to them, here to serve them. That's quite evident. If you don't know that, again, you're dumber than a box of rocks and you haven't done a damn bit of research. So it's an understood thing. That's what they consider us, okay? So how did they get us to buy into the fact that we're nothing but cattle? They took us from the workplace and Christian-owned businesses in America to international Zionist-controlled corporations, and we went from being Christian employees to slaves of the Zionists known as human resources. I remember when this paradigm shift came into effect. I questioned it even back then. When the first time the boss told me to go down and talk to somebody at HR, I said, what the hell is HR? Well, that's human resources. I said, well, what the hell is human resources? He goes, that's what you are. I said, since when? I'm an employee. See, I got a badge number. It says employee number. I'm an employee. No, you're a human resource. Do you see how the devil does it? The subtleties? You know, it's the same subtleties he used in the garden with Eve. Whispered in her ears. You don't have to listen to God. You don't have to listen to Adam. You can hear that being said over the boob tube and the television and the flat screens today. All of you Eves out there, can't you hear the Nakash in the background hissing? Nakash. Eve, listen to me. Oy vey. You don't want to listen to that damn white guy? Listen to this little sniveling rat-faced Jew. He's got your best interests at heart. Besides, if you listen to Adam, he might stop you from becoming a porn star for me. He might stop you from being a crack whore for me. He might stop you from being in my pornographic magazines. He might stop you from being in Hollywood so that you can be on Harvey Weinstein's couch being checked out for a audition. Wink, wink. Can't you just hear the little rat-faced kike Jew sitting there in the garden hissing in Eve's ear, just like they're hissing in our girls' ears today? Little rat-faced punk. Just don't listen to them. Don't listen. Don't listen to that identity message. No, we're your best friends. That's like these retards today to think Israel's our best friend. Really? That bastard nation's our best friend. And why are we sending our police officers over to a scumbag, dirtbag, degenerate, rat-infested hole like Itzelai to learn how to be cops? When every military man I've talked to that was stationed over there said that they are despicable, dirty, scummy, with no morality whatsoever people. And that's who's teaching our cops how to be cops? And we wonder why out in Arizona that cop gunned a perfectly innocent man down in the hallway of La Quinta? That cop should be hanging from a tree. If there was any justice in America, that cop would be hanging from a tree. He's a murderer. That badge doesn't give you the right to commit murder, guys. Yeah, it does to the Jew. They murder Palestinians on a daily basis over there. And you bastards still go around and say Christ was a Jew? I pray the imprecatory prayer from Scripture upon these preachers that are still preaching that goddamn lie that Christ was a devil. Christ himself had nothing good to say about Jews. Christ himself said they were vipers, thieves, murderers, and worse. Christ himself in the book of John said they were guilty of all the innocent blood from Abel till then. And yet your preacher's telling you those dirtbag murdering pieces of crap are what our Christ came from. Are you kidding me? And because of that, you turned a blind eye to the murdering, thieving scumbags that they are. And we send billions of dollars to them so that they can build systems like the Talpiot Project, where they have stolen the intellectual property of the inventors of this nation, and they spy on us? Why did our government, if you think the people in government are our friends, then why did they allow Israel the right to take all of our electronic communications and funnel it through Itzelai? Did you know that, ladies and gentlemen? All electronics, including telephone conversations, are funneled through It's a Lie, so that the lying scumbags, communists, can gather whatever intel they want when your transmission's going from the United States to some other part of the United States or to another country. It all goes through that little litter box so that they can siphon out what they want. You know, I'm sick and tired of these people telling me, too, Dan, the Jews, they have all the money because they're so good with money and they're so smart. And I look at the person saying that and I said, are you shitting me? Are you that damn stupid? These people are criminals. That's like telling me the mob in Las Vegas back in the day of the Jewish mob, like Meyer Lansky and Mo Green and the rest of the Jewish mobsters, that they were smart and good guys with money because they were Jews. It had nothing to do with the fact that they murdered their competition. They stole what they wanted. That had nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with the fact that the creature from Jekyll Island, known as the Federal Reserve System, has always been in the hands of Jews. Have you idiots ever thought about that? Why does every chairman of the Federal Reserve have to be a goddamn Jew? All right? It hasn't worked out very well for us since 1913. But you think it's good that every year they put another stinking kike in over the Federal Reserve? What the hell? I just don't understand it. When do you people ever wake up? That's what I want to know. When do you ever wake up? You know, if everything was working well, I'd be the last guy on here talking about this. Believe me, I have a lot better things I'd like to do. Like right now, I'd like to be laying down in bed and getting better. And for 18 years on the radio and many more years before that on a soapbox, trying to wake you folks up. I have a lot better things to do. I have 14 grandchildren. I don't get to spend very much time with them because I'm trying to wake you up. Why? Because my country's dying. My country's dying, and when it dies, my children and grandchildren go down with the ship. All of you assholes sitting out there on your fat asses not doing a goddamn thing to fix this problem, it's the same for you, only you haven't woke up to that simple fact yet. When this ship goes down like the Titanic, it takes you and me down with it. It doesn't give a rat's ass whether you did anything or didn't do anything, whether you're white, brown, yellow, pink, blue, whatever. When she goes down, she's going to suck all of us down with her. Now, I know the elites think they're going to hide, and America's going to go down, and they're going to come out of their little hiding holes. That's why the Jews own so much property in Central and South America. They think they're going to scurry down there when the white people finally do get their pitchforks out, if they ever do. Sometimes I wonder if that's ever going to happen. But they know pretty much that in times past, there is a point where even the white man will wake the hell up. And so their plan is to scurry out of town and go down there and live in their nice little plush palaces in Central and South America with all their stolen shekels from our Federal Reserve System and banking system that's raping us blind. And they think they're going to sit down there and ride this thing out. I know the scripture has a different version of how that's going to work out for them, but that's what they planned. Remember, they killed all the babies. 300 baby boys were murdered in Bethlehem by the Jews under Herod. King Herod was an Idumean, which is another code name for Jew. King Herod ordered 300 baby boys, 3 years and younger, massacred. You see, the Jew has no problem shedding a lot of blood. And why did he kill all the babies and the boys 3 years and younger? Because unlike the fairy tale where you're told that everybody came to see the child in swaddling clothes as a newborn baby, in actuality, he was a child between 1 and 3 by the time the wise men, actually they were Parthians, their aristocrats showed up from Parthia. It took over a year to organize that caravan and bring all of the incense and myrrh and frankincense and all of the gold and all of the things they wanted to pay homage to the Christ child. He wasn't a freshly born baby. Or Herod wouldn't have said kill him 3 years and younger. He would have said kill all the newborns. Think, people, think. And like I said, we're talking about QAnon here in a minute. That's what Q's trying to do. I figured it out the other night. And I'm not saying Q is 100% on our side. I'm not saying that. I'm saying whatever is happening, whether Q's of us or not, here's one of the pluses. What is Q doing? All right? And there's a lot of arguments on both sides of this issue. Q is starting to bring people together to work as a team to figure things out. Now, there's a lot of arguments. Why doesn't he just come out and say it? Because our people are lazy. They've been spoon-fed for so long, they've lost the ability to perform deductive reasoning. In other words, their brains have atrophied to the point you've got to teach them how to think again. The public school system and the universities are trash. They're trash. So now you've got 300 plus million people in this land. Now you're never going to get all of them to start thinking again because a lot of them shouldn't even be here. They're invaders. And none of them that are not white should have citizenship. All right? That's what the founding fathers said. If you don't like me saying it, I don't really care. Either you like the truth or you don't like the truth. Either you want real historicity or you can listen to the Jewish fables. You make up your own mind. Only white people, and specifically white men, were supposed to cast ballots, hold office, or sit in the jury box. That's all. And you can see why they said that. Look at the chaos in this land. So you've got this nation of weak-willed soy boys, cucks, snowflakes, hair in buns, and we're going to fight a war with that. You got to remember, in the beginning, it's an ideological war before the bullets start flying. And I don't think the bullets are far away. So we don't have much time. So what is the benefit of Q? The benefit of Q is it's causing a large segment of patriots and especially young people to start deductive reasoning. Instead of just giving him wholesale the truth and all the information up front, think about it. What's Q doing? Whatever Q is, I don't really care at this point, but what is he doing? This thing called Q. And by the way, Q is just a clearance level. I was in the Department of Energy back in the late 80s and 90s, and I had a L clearance, which is just below a Q. And normally, to do the job I was doing required a Q clearance, but they were having a cost-cutting thing back then because the economy had tanked back in the late 80s. And so they didn't want to spend the few extra $1,000 to get me the Q, so they said you're going to have to stick with an L clearance. So I'm familiar with the Q clearance, and I would have had a Q clearance. Just like in the Air Force, I had a top-secret clearance. So I know a little bit about them. So Q is a civilian government equivalent to top secret in the military. So that's where the Q comes from. Anon just stands for anonymous. So what is the effect of Q Anonymous doing here, all these posts and everything? Like I said, it's bringing people together with a common purpose, which is to figure out what is the intelligence community trying to tell us. But even if it's not the stated purpose, what it's doing, again, is bringing people together who they're shutting off the television. They're shutting off the mind-numbing stupidity coming across radios, the mind-numbing stupidity across the program television stations, the mind-numbing ridiculousness of Hollywood movies, the talking heads, the so-called celebrities. They're turning them off. They're turning them off. They're turning to themselves. They're realizing that all of the institutions that they thought they could trust, they can't. So they're trying to figure this out. And I can't tell you how many young people I've noticed that not too long after they start trying to decipher what Q's trying to tell us, they have an epiphany and they're now believers. Hallelujah. Another outcome of the Q, and about the same time of the Q, is the pouring out of Yahweh's Spirit, as he said in Ezekiel. And whether it's because of Q or not, I don't know, but there is an overall returning to a recognition that we need to get back to our Heavenly Father and His law. Man's law is no good. It never has been good. William Blackstone, the famous jurist from England, his commentaries used to be studied in our law schools, but now they've been taken over by Jews. So what do they care what an Anglo-Saxon had to say, even though he was recognized as one of the greatest jurists ever? William Blackstone said that any law created that goes against God's law is no law at all. It has no validity. Now, why do you think Jews would not want William Blackstone taught in the law schools today? Oh, that's right, because Jews are famous for doing just that. Who do you think was behind abortion? Who do you think's behind pedophilia, cannibalization, sex slave trafficking? Yeah, Jews. You know, I think Father has led me down this path for years. Way back when I was working in New Jersey, I turned on a public broadcasting station one day, just for the hell of it. I didn't watch it that often, but the Holy Spirit must have been there. I turned it on, and it was an interview with this guy, this kike, from Itzelai. And this kike woman was interviewing him. And this is on public broadcasting now. Of course, they're fully aware that most white people don't have enough time to try to get educated. They're too busy having fun. But this white guy was listening. And here's this Jew being interviewed bragging about the fact that little Itzelai, with their degenerate Jewish population per capita, produces more sex slaves than any other country. He was actually bragging about that. This was back in the 1990s. So my wake-up call to the Jews started a long time ago. And I can't tell you how many little instances of a Jew bragging about their machinations and their perfidious behavior I've listened to over the years. So when I finally was turned on to the identity message, it made perfect sense. Perfect sense. And I've been told, too, that there's a fight now that's trying to say the two-seed-line message, the two-seed-line doctrine of identity, which says that Genesis 3:15 means exactly what it says. There is an alien race amongst us. And I can back that up with Thayer's Greek lexicon. When you look up the word eudaios, which is the Greek word translated as either Judean or Jew. Now, what did it actually mean to the Greeks that wrote it 2,000 years ago? What it meant was you were either a member of the tribe of Judah, a Jehudite, or you were just any old person living in the land of Judea, which used to be called Judah. And the Jews lived in Judea. Now, to say that eudaios means Jews as in Jews today is a misnomer. It is a mistranslation. So every time you see the word Jew in your Bible, think of the word eudaios and figure out, was the author trying to describe a Jew living in Judea, a scumbag, a liar, a thief, a pedophile, a sex slaver, a organ trafficker, a drug dealer, because that's what Jews have always been doing. All right. Was he talking about one of them, or was he talking about a member of one of the 12 tribes, which are the white people? Okay. That's for you to figure out. It's not very hard. All you gotta do is look at the context of the verse. But the word Jew didn't come into existence till around the 1700s. It's a completely made-up word. It wasn't used by anyone prior to the 1700s. We had words like Shakespeare in his plays for the word Jew that we put in modern English, he had E-W-E, or you, as in Judah. Okay? So the word Jew is a made-up word. It's a modern word. And these people walking around who've taken on the moniker of Jew are the Revelation 2:9 people. They are the fake Jews. They are the false Jews. Because some people think the people of the Bible are Jews. So they get confused. And all this confusion is because you haven't ever studied, folks. And that's why I appreciate what Q is doing. Whether he's one of our people or a group of our people or not, doesn't make any difference. If there's nothing else Q's doing, he's rallying the troops. He's getting people off their ass. Stop watching that goddamn television and all the filth and garbage that comes across it. And they're actually turning on their brains. They're sitting down trying to figure out what is it trying to say. And do you know what that's used for? Deductive reasoning like that? Figuring out the scriptures. Hallelujah. I think Q's a phenomenal thing. Thank you, whoever you are. Thank you. People are now turning on what Yahweh God gave them, a brain that functions, a brain that allows them to sit down and have deductive reasoning, and you can sit there and start figuring this stuff out. And if you really have some gumption about you, why don't you go buy some concordances and maybe even a couple good lexicons and do a little word study. It won't be long after you start doing that, you'll be an identity believer. I'm just telling you, okay? Whatever your preconceptions of what identity is all about, you're going to become identity. Because identity simply means we can correctly identify who's who in the Bible. Who's who in the world around us. Because Christ told us we have wolves that walk amongst us. What do you think he was trying to say? A thing out there with a bunch of fur and four legs? I think we're pretty good at telling when a wolf's in the neighborhood. I don't think I need a Christ to tell me about that. Or do you think he was trying to tell you about people who are wolves? Especially the wolves in sheep's clothing. On the outside, they appear to be you. Inside, they're a completely different creature. Now, the modern-day church wants you to believe that that's all spiritual. Oh, Brother Dan, you know that there scripture is nothing but a spiritual thing. You know, this is all spiritual warfare. We battle against principalities. We don't battle against flesh and blood. Well, you know, I have this theory. Now, you can call me crazy if you want, but I can't find anywhere in Scripture where Christ quoted a New Testament passage. Can you find it for me? Now, Christ told us to pay attention to the prophets, and obviously he wanted us to pay attention to him. But I don't see anywhere he gave credibility to any of the gospel writers, and most certainly not to Paul. That doesn't mean I don't read them, but if I have a conflict, I go back to the prophets and to the Christ. And my Christ in Luke 19 and 27 told me that I'm to bring those that would not that he rules over them before him and slay them. That's bodies. That's people. That's not principalities. My prophets told me that we are his battle axe and weapons of war. Well, you don't need a battle axe and weapons of war to fight spiritually. Those are to cut down wolves. So you naysayers that want to believe in this spirituality of everything in the Word, you go right ahead. And you let me know how that works out for you when the communists take over here in America in the near future if you keep sitting on your asses. Phil, hang on. I'll call you. I'll get you in just a second. All right. Let me know how that works out for you, will you? Let me take this call. Okay, Phil, I believe I've got you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm here. Yep. That was good. Wasn't on for very long. So, it's a great show. I just was able to get home. I I was out riding my bicycle on my chain brake, so I had to carry it back home. I just wanted to call in and give a few comments about the program you were on with talking with the pagans, I guess.
Oh yeah, on Georgian Patriot 1998. That's the YouTube channel. It's all together. Georgian Patriot 1998.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. I really enjoyed it a lot, and I think it's high time that we break bread with our brothers and sisters, and we learn a little bit about our past, and try and correct some mistakes of our people. The Pope, unfortunately, the Christian world has gone to insane levels of apologizing for the Crusades in the Middle East. In fact, it's gotten so bad that the Jewish-controlled Catholic Church has insisted that if you really feel sorry for the Crusades, you should fall on your sword and allow your lands to be taken over by the racial alien and the Islamic hordes. But that, of course, when Martin Luther gave his famous 95 theses and discussed his arguments against indulgences, he wasn't talking about not being able to defend the lands of the Israelites and from invasion. He was talking about conquering lands for the sole purpose of filling the coffers of the Catholic Church. And that's what he was objecting to. And, of course, we know the leaven of the Pharisees is such that it is that they take it to the nth degree, to an insane level of suicide. Unfortunately, the Jewish-controlled Catholic Church, which has always been controlled by the enemy to some degree or another, and the more control it has, the more insane it gets. But it never apologized for what has become known in history as the Great Northern Crusades. And the reason for this, of course, is because the enemy controls the Catholic Church, and the enemy is against the Adamic of our Adamic brothers and sisters. And had the Church apologized for this wickedness, we would not have anything anywhere near the problems we have today. And we need to reconcile this fact, because the so-called Christians under Charlemagne were duped. They basically were sold a bill of goods, and they went out and in a brutal fashion conquered Northern Europe that had been under the Nordic religion for a very long, had been pagan I don't even like to use that term pagan, because it's not really a legitimate word. You can't really come up with a consistent definition of the word. It's basically anything that's not of the Catholic Church. It's not approved by them, I should say. And as we all know, as we listen to Pastor Steve and others, and anyone who studies it knows that the Catholic Church is entirely non-Israelite and non-biblical, because it follows everything that you're not supposed to do. You know the litmus test on that.
So it's like the word barbarian.
Yeah.
Barbarian just meant non-Roman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we had a gathering of our brothers discussing the enemy, who we both agree with, we both hate, and this is what it means by loving your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. It is at the highest level of that, and we understand the primary goal is for us to clear things up, understand who our enemy is, and prioritize. So if we are willing to acknowledge the fact that the Christian world has made a lot of mistakes, and believe me, those of us in identity are the first ones to scream to the highest levels that we make mistakes, and we're making more and more of them every single day. You know, the our brothers and sisters who are worshiping other who are following other forms of religion that are inherent with that are part of the European history and culture, because they utterly reject the Jewish element, and they feel that the only way they can have the right to defend themselves is by following these strange, or I should say these non-traditional forms of faith, and many of them don't take it very seriously, while we in identity do. We understand who Yahweh is, and those who follow these other belief systems do it with a wink and a nod, basically just to say, yes, we are heathens and we're proud of it. And that's actually what the name of what the Odin religion is. It's called heathenry. That's where you get the word heathen. I felt it was a very empowering gathering, and I think that if we continue on this level, I think we're bound to heal the wounds and the scars, because we're in a situation very similar to that during the time of Charles Martel, because the Pope there absolutely refused to do anything about the Mongol invasion through the Iberian Peninsula into France. He didn't do anything. He didn't call for an uprising or nothing. He just sat there and counted his shekels. And Charles had to basically form an army to a large extent of farmers and peasants. So there were some knights, of course. There were some highly trained warriors involved in that as well. But they had to do it themselves, despite the Pope, because the Pope wasn't going to do a damn thing about it. And this is exactly what we're facing today. And we're having to find ourselves another Charles Martel, or Charles the Hammer, as he sometimes referred to as.
Yeah, I think you've got a good point there, Phil. And that's why I'm talking about QAnon, because we don't really know all of these, the Q posts, what Trump's doing, the sealed indictments. All this stuff could go either way. It could be a clever ruse, and it's all to bring down conservative America. Or it could be legitimate, and this is going to be the great war between the children of light and the children of darkness. It could actually go either way. It's right in the middle. That's why everybody's impatient. They want to see signs that this is for real. They want to see, are these really the good military, the white hats that we've dreamed about, prayed about, hoped for, wished for? I had a conversation with a former military intelligence gentleman from the Carolinas clear back in 2010, and we talked about a military coup clear back in 2010. I'm going to tell you, after that phone call, I was on cloud nine for a long time, because it was like, wow, somebody's actually talking about this. Somebody's actually considering this, because it's the only thing that'll save us. They've completely destroyed state government, federal government. They have destroyed the court system. They've polluted the minds of our police officers, many of our military. And only the good military, if they'll step up and we can weed out the bad guys, it won't take very long to figure out who they are. We can weed them out, because if you're in uniform fighting against us, you're a traitor. It's pretty easy to figure out what to do with traitors. And if you're not in uniform and you're fighting for the enemy, then you're a spy. Pretty easy to figure out what to do with spies. Okay? You make short work of them, and you bury them and let the worms have them. Done deal. Easy. Easy peasy. You know, that's the amazing thing, Phil. You know, when we were talking to those guys, and we had a lot of fun with that, and we're talking about possibly having that roundtable type discussion once a week. And I really hope the guys do that, because we had a lot of fun, and we do need to get our camps talking with each other, so that we at least have a working relationship. But as I told them, I'm not going to trade in what I've learned through scripture study and my faith in the Father to take up the banner of heathenism, paganism, whatever term you want to use for the old religions of the Norsemen or whatever, because in my study, a lot of their teachings were based on scripture anyway. They just used different names, like Thor could be taken back to a biblical character, etc. So I don't see why they would want me to give that up going into battle when these teachings in the scripture are why my health is what it is, even though I'm fighting a slight problem now. But in all, most people think I'm 15 to 20 years younger than I am. I still get around. I still have all my organs. I still have all my joints. Most people my age don't have all that. Most people my age are on 4, 5, 6 different pharmaceuticals. I'm on none. I don't even take Advil unless I absolutely have to, or Aleve, or any of those things. Okay? So why would I give up what was taught to me through the scriptures to know about the Jew and how he operates, to how the enemy operates, that I'm supposed to be a soldier, that I'm supposed to fight for the ones I love, that I'm supposed to protect my family from thieves? What's it say about a thief and a strong man? He says he's got to bind the strong man before he can come in and steal. Well, who wants to disarm us so that we're not able to protect our homes? Jews. Primarily Jews. Jews and empty-headed white people and whatever these creatures are, like David Hogue. What the hell is he? I mean, take a good look at a picture of that guy. Does he look like an Aryan to you? What is he? He looks like he comes from Mars or somewhere, and so does that so-called woman that they put up there that's supposed to be Middle Eastern. And they said that she was the one that supposedly did the shooting at the YouTube place in California. Have you seen a picture of her? I've seen a lot of pictures of Middle Eastern people, and none of them look like that. Where do they find these? Are these computer-generated images? Because they're uglier in sin. They don't look like real people. Am I crazy, or do you see it that way too, Phil?
Oh, I do too, yeah. Yeah, they find these people, they're like caricatures, and I sometimes wonder if they're products of human trafficking, and they were kidnapped when they were a young child and then created for these kinds of weird situations, kind of like Obama. So.
Hey, I got something that was, go ahead. Did you finish what you were saying?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, okay. I was told something by a veteran friend of mine earlier today, and it's the first I've heard of it. And let me see if you pick, because you're pretty well read, Phil. I was told that Saudi Arabia owns quite a bit of Florida, and that they're working with the Chinese to obtain as many ports of entry around Florida as they can get, and it has something to do with these new cruise missile systems that can be put into a C-van. You know what C-vans are, right? Those are those 30 or 40 foot long shipping containers. The square, you know, the rectangular shaped shipping container. It's about 40 feet long. Well, supposedly they have a new cruise missile system that can fit inside one of those, so you wouldn't know it. It will sit on a cargo ship and look just like any other C-van. They call them C-vans or seagoing containers. But anyway, that's the first I'd heard of that. I wondered if you had any information on that.
I've heard some rumors of that information. I think that the Saudi regime was created by the Rothschilds, and anyone who delves into that will find that out. They were created basically at the end of, during and right after the end of the Second World War, and Ibn Saud was their front man, and they're the largest they are a huge buyer of military equipment from Great Britain, and they're just a puppet of them, and there's a great little book called the Final Days of the Fall of the House of Saud. That's what it's called. It was written back in the 80s, but it's very relevant, and you find out about how they founded the regime, and how utterly crooked it is, and how the people there absolutely hate it. And so this is one of the reasons why they have this ongoing feud between the between the Saudi regime and the Shiites in Iran. And the people in Saudi Arabia are increasingly more and more sympathetic to the Shiite situation, even though they're overwhelmingly Sunni. And the only part of the country that's Shiite is in the northern, is in the northeastern part of it, which is right around the area where we mobilized our troops during the Gulf War. And I wouldn't at all be surprised if they're trying to do something along those lines. Because the Saudi regime's days are really numbered, and they know their time is short. We have a situation today where everything that we have is utterly backwards, and you should never, under any circumstances, Commander Dan, or anyone listening to this show, or anyone on EFR, should give up their, should compromise their belief in Yahweh and the truth of biblical truth. You should just simply do it in an act of love towards our brothers and sisters who may have fallen for this. Really, it's a Jewish lie that they're trying to get them to fall after any other religious belief, any other deity other than our Heavenly Father Yahweh, because they know that that's the only thing that's going to save them. And if you do that, you'll be respected. You'll stand your ground, and they will admire you for that. And you have an opportunity to share with them the truth of the word, what the word means, and correct some of the hideous translations in Scripture. And if you do that, you'll get more and more people to abandon this insanity, and come to the truth. And when you do that, you not only empower your own people, but you take away the only weapon, and I mean the only thing that these Edomite Jews have, and that's the lie that they're the chosen ones. They're the chosen ones, the serpent, but they're certainly not the chosen ones, the Most High. So everything that we have in our society is upside down. Every single thing. That's why when we have callers that call in, they're trying to disrupt situations. We call them trolls, because those trolls, if you know about trolls, they live underground. They live in their caves and they live in their caverns. And in our society, our civilization is becoming more and more designed for shut-ins, for people who ignore nature and nature's laws. And we out of fear of admiring, say, the sun, for instance, we follow our lives are based upon everything but that. You know, we have the our day begins and ends at midnight, and you know, when it's all dark outside. You know, we have the year begins and ends in the middle of winter. You know, we have women over men. We have a fiat currency system that's based on usury that has absolutely no basis in true wealth. You have the racial alien being put on an equal pedestal with that of equal footing with the white race that has built all, you know, nearly all of civilization that we know, you know, in the world today, and all of our technology is being utterly designed to destroy us as a people, and rather than embrace those things in nature that strengthen the human body, that empowers our people, we are being told to do things that are completely contradictory. We embrace television and imagery that's not based upon reality, and we find ourselves in a situation where we have no grasp of how the world really works. They don't understand where food comes from. They think it's in a package wrapped up in plastic that you get in the grocery store. And I remember years ago when I was in college, I took this girl home from my, I was in college. It was my best friend's, his platonic girlfriend. And I drove her home, and I took a shortcut, and I was driving through the country, and she started having this sort of panic attack. I said, "What's wrong with you?" She says, "What are those? What are those?" I says, "They're cows." And she's What, cows? What about you? She never seen, she said she was having a complete connection because she was driving in the countryside and actually saw some real cows. And this is the kind of, you know, insane. And this is in Indiana, for God's sake. You got to be joking, you know? And people have to get out and see the world around them and see how it really, really is. Our people are being, you know, the world itself is being completely dumbed down, and they think that what they see on television or what they hear on the radio is the truth, and in most cases it's exactly the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. I thank Father every day. I grew up in the 50s and 60s before all this mind-numbing entertainment and electronics came around, so every day was lived outdoors. Very little time spent indoors. We got a caller, Magnum 44. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Pastor Dan, how you doing? I appreciate you letting me on the radio for a few moments. Your guest is exactly right. You know, and as I sit here and I process what he's talking about, we're in a cold war. We need to be getting especially as men, we need to be getting our minds right, our bodies right, and our spirituality right with the Father, because we're in a cold war right now. I served through the 90s and the 2000s on board nuclear submarines, and it was always the cold war, training for the actual, you know, for the first torpedo to go off or the first round to go off. But your guest is exactly right. Everything that we see around us, we're being attacked on a cold basis. And it's not going to take very much to launch us into a hot war. And if we're not ready, we will be caught off guard and we're going to be at a disadvantage.
Amen to that. Well, I'll tell you, your background's Navy, and one of the guys I was talking to earlier on the telephone, he's ex-Navy too. So a lot of naval guys here. But I wanted to ask you, and this is cold, so I don't know. But do you follow the QAnon posts?
I do not.
Okay.
I started reading them this past week, but absolutely, I definitely want to start following them.
Well, it's, again, I just think everybody should, because a lot of young people are jumping on board, and the QAnon phenomenon is getting people to learn how to think. The other thing it's doing, by the way, I didn't mention this earlier. The other thing it's doing, you've got 300 and some million people in America that are, for the most part, brain dead. All right? They've lived a life of luxury. Even the poor in America eat better than most of the world. So they are soft in the head, soft in the belly. They have never had to use their brains for much. They're given high school diplomas even though they're idiots. They're given college diplomas even though they're idiots. They're given jobs based on the color of their skin or their sex rather than their ability. So they've been pampered. So now you've got this country with 300 and some million basically bags of bones, and you're going to try to awaken them to some of the dirtiest, nastiest secrets that have been kept from them in every aspect for centuries. You've got all this coming down while there is an assault by the communists in America, the Jewish communists, to take over America like they did our Russian brothers and sisters 100 years ago. We've got all this going on. So I think QAnon is doing us a favor in helping at least to unite a rather large section of the thinking population, the conservative population, and getting them ready for what's coming. And to me, that fits in with Scripture. It says to be prepared as it was in the days of Noah. There is punishment coming. Then it was a flood. This time it's a fire. And I swear, I've said for many years now, the ark could be all of us brothers and sisters networking together, that we form a sort of arc. We're looking out, we're transferring truth about health, about naturopathy, about the GMO foods, about the chemtrails, about the liars, about the banking. We're doing all these things to educate people. As a military buddy of mine from the Army told me years ago, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And this is like a forewarning going out to the people. Get your brains, start using them, and understand that later this month, they're going to release stuff that's going to blow most people's minds. So they're trying to ramp everybody up here in a hurry to at least be prepared to hear things that you've never thought were possible before. And the other good thing that Q's talking about, and again, I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt because I think it is happening. This piece of garbage Pope that's in there, this Jesuit Jew dog is going to be outed and he's going to come down. And along with him, this whole stinking, rotten Roman Catholic pagan situation and the daughters of the harlot known as mainstream denominational churchianity, they're all going to come down as being the whores of Babylon and the daughters of whores in the very near future.
Praise Yahweh.
Yeah, I'm hoping and praying. Phil, anything else?
Yeah, I think that the, most Catholics are Catholics for one reason and one reason only, and that's because their family were Catholics. And when you have people that grew up, you know, basically calling themselves Catholics for the sole purpose that it gives them a sense of identity, and then turning around and finding that they're being betrayed. But case in point would be that of Ireland, where Ireland is now being forced to bring in all these illegal aliens, you know, these alien hordes into their country to destroy it. And yet Ireland was the most staunchly Catholic country in all of Europe for a very, very, you know, for a very, very long time, as much because it was in opposition to the English. You'll find it, you know, they're going to flee from it. They're going to become utterly disgusted with the whole situation. And I think it's only a matter of time before these things happen. So this Pope's time is up. I think he knows it. And I also do think that there's an element of the Jesuit wing within the Catholic Church that wants to see a civil war within Catholicism, because it's become so utterly corrupted. After Vatican II, the traditional European end of the organization was taken over by the enemy completely, and it became so utterly liberalized. Its communist element was just brought to the forefront. Now as for Saudi Arabia, you were mentioning about them. When the Saudis were put in power, part of their connection was that they had to allow for the teaching of Wahhabism, which is a totally invented sect of Islam, to make it more and more radicalized, I guess you'd say, that had not been around for a very long time, and it was designed to do that, to be kind of a gun to the head of the Saudis to do whatever the Rothschilds wanted them to do. And the Saudi regime is utterly crooked. There are 23, by the way, versions of the Quran. People think there's only one, and there's actually 23 of them. And within Islam, there's a large section of the homosexuals. There's a big, huge homosexual underground in Islam. People may not remember, but a couple of years ago, there was a high-ranking imam in Indonesia, who publicly gave what has become known as an anal jihad, in which he basically stated that any Muslim who was in enemy territory could engage in sodomy with another Muslim in order to relieve himself of his sexual tensions while he's engaging in war against the infidel. So this is the leaven of the Pharisees, which is in Islam just as much as it is in Judaism. And our people in this country are particularly our real men who are in the military, and those who wish they were. I wish I had joined, but I got talked out of it. they are extremely comfortable in their own as who they are, and it's the feminists that wish to reject authentic femininity and turn women into men. And real men want a really feminine, true woman, and don't want them to pretend to be like one of the guys, and understand their place in the world. And when that happens, when men are men and women wear dresses, we lived in a much more better, healthier, and more productive society, and we were able to produce more children because we wanted to, and it had more meaning and more fulfillment than simply just an act of bestial pleasure.
Pastor Dan, if I can, your guest Phil is speaking the truth. When I went through Fort Dix, New Jersey, prior to going to Afghanistan, everything you talked about with the Muslims and so forth and all that queer activity, we were taught about that before going overseas to Iraq and Afghanistan. So it's exactly correct what he's saying. And Phil, if I can ask you, have you ever heard of, when you talk about the Catholic Church, have you ever heard of the Council of Bishops?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, the Council of Bishops. If you can expand upon that a little bit. My understanding was the Council of Bishops was almost like the Conhedra with the Jews, where the Council of Bishops says they could have sex with children, animals, whatever, as long as they didn't talk about it, it was okay. Now, if that's a misunderstanding, Phil, please go ahead and correct me.
Well, no, it's not. It's a closed. It's an elite club, basically, that allows everyone outside of it to, you know, that they can dictate to others outside of the group. But when you're into it, when you're inside of the organization of the Council of Bishops, they help run the church. They're made up of cardinals and high-ranking officials within the Catholic Church, and so it allows them. They are used as a means of funneling money and to protect against child trafficking and everything else. Because if they are hush hush. They're a bunch of, they're basically rabbis essentially, who are allowed to get away with anything. This element had been within the Catholic Church for a very large degree for a long time, although there were some within the Catholic Church who didn't want to have anything to do with it and were ashamed of it and didn't want anybody to know because they were afraid they wouldn't have anything to do with it. They'd go off with the Protestants. Because that's what Martin Luther wanted to do. He wanted to clean up the Catholic Church because he knew it had been basically Judified, I guess you'd say, and so he wanted to fix it, but the Catholic Church, they rejected him on that, and they tried to kill him, and it's no coincidence that he was from Northern Europe, he was German and everything, and he's of the House of Judah, and this is what has completely controls the Catholic Church. You have the white pope. And that's the pope that you see on the throne. That's the guy. That's this queer we have. You know, it's this total pervert. It's Francis. Okay, but he's also a Jesuit. This is the first time that you have an open Jesuit who's now also the white. He's also the white pope. And there had been a civil war within the Catholic Church between the black pope. That's the Jesuit Father General, and the white pope. And that's the traditional pope that everybody sees. And the Jesuits are like the military wing of the church. They're the Catholic Church's shock troops, basically. It takes like 20 years before one can become a Jesuit. And they're the ones that have orchestrated all of these communist revolutions in Latin America and elsewhere. They're the ones that promote the, what's known as liberation theology, which takes the end of biblical law and puts grace to an extreme degree. I mean, grace is such an insane level that you can literally do anything, and it's okay. So, and it's part of your humanity, I guess you'd say.
Hey,
and,
Phil.
So, Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, now that we have a Jesuit sitting in the chair of the great whore, what about the black pope? Is there a black pope, or did they just take over
There is. Yeah. I forgot his name, but yeah, there still is. That's why there was this, that's why Francis was put in. Pope Benedict was removed. They wanted to increase the radicalism, the liberalism within the Catholic Church, and they thought that it had been exposed, and so they decided to put Francis in there, so that's one of the reasons why they did that.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the United States Congress in Washington. You've got the outright communist Democrats, and then you have the communists mm-hmm. who say they're Republicans over on the other side of the House. So both houses are controlled by communists, but they just call themselves Republicans. So now in the Catholic mm-hmm. Church, you've got the Jewish Jesuits controlling both the militant Jesuit orders, and now they got the guy sitting in the big chair on the other side. So they got the whole kit mm-hmm. and caboodle.
Different sides of the mm-hmm. same coin.
Yeah, exactly. So we got the same thing going on and on. We're in the end times. I mean, this is the time the Dead Sea Scrolls referred to as the great battle at the end of the age, and it means an earth age, and that's where we're at, the end of an earth age. That there would be a great battle between the children of light, which means the children of understanding and wisdom, and the children of darkness, which means the opposite, children of wickedness and evil. And this is the great battle. Dead Sea Scrolls, of course, say the children of light will vanquish the wicked, as the Bible also says, and as common sense says. Wicked people typically are not, I mean, look at David Hogue and that goofy Gonzalez chick, the dyke that he's related to. Both of them don't look like normal people. I don't know if there's drugs or some kind of plastic surgery to make them look that stupid, but they don't look like normal people. I mean, there's no soul there. You look at them and they're just soulless bags of bones going through the motion, trying to convince us to lay down our weapons. Hey, Hogue and Gonzalez, I got news for you. It ain't working. We're not going to lay them down for you or any other asshole out there. All right, just because you don't know history, you don't know the Constitution, and I don't blame you for not knowing white history of America, because neither one of you are white. All right, so of course you don't give a damn about our culture and our heritage. Why should you? Just like most of the people in Washington, D.C., who aren't white and Christian. They're interlopers. They're invaders. And that's why the Founding Fathers are turning over in their graves right now. They turned us over a nation that had rules to keep this from happening. And we've allowed the Jews in through the back door. They paid off like the governor of New York City. It was known as New Holland, I believe, back then. New Amsterdam. I'm sorry, New Amsterdam. They paid him money, and he let them in. Because the colonists, when they came here, said Jews were never, ever to set foot on North America. Ever. George Washington said, never, ever. In fact, George Washington said they should be exterminated as vermin. Ben Franklin, same thing. Don't ever let them here. We will regret the day that we let them off the boats. All right? So the Founding Fathers understood what would happen. We're living the actual proof of their wisdom. You know, it's like my dad told me one time. The older you get, the smarter your parents become. The older we get as a society, the smarter the Founding Fathers are. They predicted this. You want to know why the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy tells you are never to put a racial alien in a political position of power over you? It's right there in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. This is living proof. When America was white, America was great. Now that we've become stupid and we're buying into the bullshit propaganda that we got to turn it over to all these muds that come in here, it's turning into another SHIT whole country, just like theirs. Okay. So, you know, I told people in my family and all that years ago, you don't make us stronger by bringing all these people in here. You don't make them a stronger nation in their lands where they come from by making our country weaker. That's complete insanity.
You asked me about the Jesuit general, and I'll tell you who. There's a triumvirate of evil that rules the world through the Vatican. There's Adolfo Nicholas, who's a superior general of the Jesuits. There's Jesuit superior general Peter Hans Kolbenbach, and Pope Francis the First. These three men rule the world economically. And what this means is that these three men rule all the governments of the nations through the Black Pope's perfected international intelligence community, directed by the Jesuits from Rome through London and Washington, D.C. All central banks are ruled by the agents of these men. All the armies of the most powerful nations, U.S., Russia, China, Germany, etc., are ruled by these men. All the secret societies are ruled by these men. All mafia families conducting every sort of organized crime are ruled by these men. All international, all entertainment and news outlets are ruled by these men. There is nothing outside of their immediate temporal power that they do not control in one way or the other. So, and if you look at this Adolfo Nicholas guy, he's got the biggest freaking nose. Oh my God, he looks so hideous. And it's no coincidence that Francis is from South America. So, you know, and South America is where a lot of the power lies. So, and
well, you know, that's kind of interesting, yeah. Because yesterday there was a QAnon post that said that all roads lead to Rome. It was talking about the conflicts and different things going on in the geopolitical. All roads lead to Rome, and the Pope serves his master. So there's a master. Now, I don't know if it was referring to somebody in Itzalai, because they're all Jews, no matter if you're talking about Saudi Arabia, Itzalai, or the Catholic Church. It's all Jews. So I don't know if they're talking about somebody within the Jewish ranks that's even higher than the Pope, or are they referring to Satan himself, that they take the Pope takes his marching orders from the son of perdition himself. So the great adversary. But it was interesting that you talk about it, and that was actually in a posting that the Pope will be revealed, and that by May the Pope will be in big trouble. So let's take note of that. Okay, people say Q can't be trusted. Okay, Q said April will be a very, very bad month for this Pope and the Roman Catholic Church. Let's see what happens. Also, we've got they mentioned Lexington and Concord. Both of those battles were instrumental in the founding of these United States. Both of those battles happened on April 19th. So we're in a battle for the very existence of our nation. This is the Second American Revolution. Lexington and Concord were the sparks that ignited the bullets flying. Okay, right now we're in the ideological warfare, much like the Founding Fathers when they used to put the pamphlets up on the Liberty Trees. You guys remember that from your history class? They didn't have internet. They didn't have telephones. So what they would do is ride through towns. And every town had what they called a liberty tree. It's where you could post significant events that applied to the town. The patriots would ride through town and quickly jump off their horse and nail a proclamation on the liberty tree about what was going on. Thomas Paine and many of the other founding fathers would write these tracts to ignite the fires of liberty within the people. And I think that's what Q's alluding to. We're at the same juncture. There's a fight between the good and evil, and we're near we're near that point. We got less than a minute, guys, for a final goodbye.
If I may, Pastor Dan, real quick, I want to do a plug for the Society for Men's Freedom. One of the ways the enemy is trying to deconstruct us as a as a family unit or as a society, and it doesn't matter if it's the United States, Canada, England, Scotland, Australia, it doesn't matter. They're trying to deconstruct us at the family unit. There's a gentleman, he's an ex-Marine in the United States. His name is John. I'd like all men to go ahead and look at the Society for Men's Freedom. You can join for nothing or $2 a month or whatever. We're trying to get an army of men to go put together a big political action committee to start fighting these rules and these laws in these different countries that are aimed to take men down. You go into a relationship and you get taken down if you go through a divorce or what have you. So once again, Society for Men's Freedom, I definitely want to put a plug in for that. I have no ties to it except for I belong to it. And that's all I've got there, Pastor Dan.
All right. Thanks, Magnum. Phil, any parting words?
Yeah, I'd like to thank the caller for his wonderful, his nice comments and that organization sounds absolutely wonderful. And it's a high time that we gather together as men to fight what has been an utterly hideous and satanic system that has been in power for far too long. It's coming to the point where Rome has to fall, and we must understand that when we talk about Jews, I can guarantee you that there's a hell of a lot more Jews than just 2%. There's probably more like 10 or 12%. And we're not just simply talking about biological Jews. We're talking about those who wish to serve them on an ideological basis, and they are probably are even more of an enemy than those who are born into it. And if they volunteer to it, they are definitely the absolute worst. So I wish you all the very best, and I praise Yahweh above all things, and I guarantee we will achieve victory because it's in the cards. It's already been prophesied.
Hallelujah. Yep. Hallelujah. And happy Passover, everybody. And thanks for tuning in. Eurofolkradio.com. We'll see you next time. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.